Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Naval Historical Society of Australia. This is one of the many talks in the archives of the Society recorded over nearly two decades from 1973 until 1980, and now available for you through the Society's website. Today we're listening to Lou Lind, BEM, the man who is the major force in creating the NHSA and its first president. In this address, he tells of one of the Society's most challenging undertakings, the salvage of HMAS Parramatta's bow section from the Hawkesbury River. It was recorded on board HMAS Sydney on 7th of September 1973, and the duration is 11 minutes.
Salvage of HMAS Parramatta, which has occupied a lot of our time this year. We did arrange the board over here to give you some idea of what's been going on. It really doesn't illustrate the problems which we did come across in this salvage job. One of the first problems which some of you know about was the Parramatta was lying in about 2 foot 3 inches of water at high tide. We had to bring alongside a floating crane which would lift the required weight, and this was quite a job in itself because we had to gouge out the mud to get the jolly barge alongside the thing. And when we did eventually overcome that problem, in the course of discussions we decided we'd increase the size of the piece we'd take in the bow. Well, the original estimate we worked out pretty thoroughly, but they've thrown on me in quite a hurry to make a estimate of what the increased length was. So, in all innocence, without any engineering background at all, I made an estimate. It was only about 50% beyond the lifting capacity of the crane, and by some miracle and a lot of twisting and turning, that lift was made. But that was one problem we had there. The next problem which arose was the barges were towed down to around the Newport area there, and of course the crane, on being unshipped, the barge went through the barge, and we had a delay then of about 3 or 4 weeks while the barge was repaired. But eventually the relic sections were towed down to Sydney Harbour, and we have the delightful, well, we have the honour of having a sections of Australia's, the RAM's first ship being saluted by HMAS Sydney. And I must say that we were deeply honoured on that occasion, and each time I look at that photograph over there with the two horrible lumps of strap iron and the Sydney behind it, I feel very, very proud indeed. The relics eventually reached Rydalmere, where we had arranged, I'd really talked a timber merchant into unlifting, into unloading these barges, and at the very last moment he said, "Look, I think that bow section's much heavier than you told me." I said, "Well, it's a little bit heavier." He said, "You know, this wharf on which my crane's already standing, on which my crane is standing, has already sunk 18 inches with a 7-ton load." He said, "Now, if your load is any greater than that, I could be up to a lot of money because I'm hiring these." So that made a bit of a problem. So with a snap decision, we decided we'd have to do something about this. So I conferred with the Parramatta City Council, who are cooperating in this job, and they didn't have any ideas. And incidentally, at the very same time, the low loader we'd arranged, the fellow was going to do the job without charge. Well, he dropped out too. So there we were, stuck with the pieces on the barge, the Sydney Bridge and Wharf people screaming like mad because they had a job to start, and in a bit of a quandary. Anyway, the thought came to me that Parramatta City Council had a garbage contractor, and I said, well, he must have some trucks. So the next fellow we approached was the garbage contractor for Parramatta City Council. He said, yes, I have a low loader. I'd be delighted to do the job without charge. And I said, well, look, there's only one problem. We've got to get the thing off the barge onto your low loader, and it's pretty heavy. And he said, well, look, I've got another mate who I'm sure would like to do this job of lifting. So this is how it went. I might add that the garbage contractor was a fellow called Lou or Lalabita or something like that, of Italian extraction, and he was as proud as punch to be associated with the salvage of HMAS Parramatta. He didn't know that what was to turn out, what was intended in the first place as a single day job of moving this, eventually ended up in about a week because other problems arose along the way. I ordered a police escort. I got in contact with the Sydney County Council and the Prospect County Council. I did a run over the route. They said, right, we'll get through dawn on Sunday. We'll start long before dawn on Sunday. I arrived up at Radomir and where these pieces were then. And so the police shoot off on their motorbikes and tear around, and the county council people went around with their trucks and great pole up. And this went on for about 2 hours. They all came back. We had a conference, and it was found that there was no way of moving these sections to the site we required. So we're in a predicament again. So I said to the low-loader chap, I said, well, look, let's not take any notice of these blokes. Let's go round ourselves and have a look. So the big problem, well, there are two problems. One, if we went one way, we would have had to take down the Radomir footbridge opposite the Radomir Psychiatric Centre. Or the other way, we would have had to take the main power lines down on the Parramatta Strathfield Railway. And this would have to be done between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning, which would have been inconvenient for a lot of travel. So I went with my friend, he was my friend by then, and Lou, and we went up and we looked at this bridge, and we were feeling pretty miserable. And anyway, I said, well, where's that road go to through the psychiatric centre? He said, oh, let's have a look. So we walked through, and there, strange to relate, that road actually went through the psychiatric centre, turned left, and bypassed the bridge. Next day, we put in frantic calls to the hospital people, the mental health people, and we talked them into allowing us to take this monstrous thing through the psychiatric centre up there. And so at dawn on the Tuesday, well, on the Monday afternoon, I rang the police. I said, look, we'd like that escort again. And they said, well, you'll have to give us 7 days' notice. You can't have police escorts without 7 days' notice. So I talked and talked and told them all my troubles to the inspector. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, how high is that thing in any case? And I said, oh, it's 20 foot 6 inches. He said, don't you know the road regulations are for a load are 14 foot 6 inches and that legally it can't be moved on any road at all? So I said, well, I didn't know that, but I said, I'm caught. I said, what am I going to do with the thing? So he said, well, that's your problem. But he said, well, how am I going to get these police? I said, look, how about ringing up Rather Mayor anywhere and ask him whether they got two policemen who perhaps would volunteer to do the job. And anyway, make a long story short, we got the policeman on the Tuesday morning. Off we went, two motorcyclists and two minimana police in front, one policeman at the back, a county council truck each side with lifting rods, lifting wires right along the road. And just as dawn was breaking, we turned into Victoria Road, which had built up to a fairly heavy stream of traffic. Our load was such that we had to jump the medium strip every time we did a turn, which resulted in the traffic going both ways, having to be pushed back or stopped. And then we proceeded about 3 miles down the road to the psychiatric centre, where we did a double jump over the medium strip again, at which point the bowels of HMAS Power Matter started slipping. But fortunately they remained on. We turned into the psychiatric centre, and this cheered us really, because lined up there were all the patients, their attendants had brought them out, and they watched Parramatta pass through the ground, and I couldn't help thinking, now I wonder what they think about us, these people. It was something different, and eventually, as I say, we got the pass to within about, well, they're now about a quarter of a mile from their final site. We're having quotes done now for metal protectors to do preservative work, and in due course, HMAS Parramatta will really be back home in Parramatta. But those photographs are well worth having a look at, because as you can see by the last photograph there, this monstrous thing in a street of neat little bungalows that just seemed to hang over the lot. And nobody dared put their head out. I expected crowds of people, but I think they really thought the thing would fall over and possibly crash on their front fence or something.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you're looking for more information about Australian naval history, then you should use our website. You'll find more podcasts, articles from our quarterly in-house magazine, Naval Historical Review, and a range of e-books, monographs, and ships' plans for sale in our online shop. If you have any questions or research inquiries about Australian naval history, then feel free to contact us. Use the link on the website homepage. The Society is a not-for-profit organisation which relies on your continuing support. Please use our website links to become a member, or donate now, or sign up as a volunteer, or subscribe to our newsletters. See you next time.